Yes, seems to be the season, right?
We're in the middle of summer. Summer sports, camping, trying to squeeze in a vacation. It's warm out, so maybe we should work a little longer. Never know how that's going to work out for us. So Jenny hit the nail on the head. Seize the day. We'll let this catch up. I've got a pretty big mouth. You might still be able to hear me.
You get there. There we go. You know, seizing the day. If you ask anybody, they'll tell you I'm an encourager. I'm a big fan of seeing empowerment in us as individuals, especially in youth, through whatever course or means that has to happen. I tend to be an encourager towards others, self-critical. That's not hard to do, and that's one thing that's easy to get right, because it's mindsets like that will cause me to want to run ahead of God rather than give it to God and follow Him. So let's pray real quick before we dive in. Lord, we come before You this morning to seek Your wisdom, to seek counsel from You through the Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that He be present. We pray that we all be receptive to the words that You wish for us to hear, Lord. I pray that You clench my tongue of anything that does not glorify You. Lord, just let it be the words that You want to share in the message for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I titled the morning's lesson, Forward Family Forward. I had a whole bunch of goofy analogies for today's sermon. One of those rare times when I knew what I wanted to talk about. Just couldn't pick a title, and I couldn't narrow down the 24, 25 different scripture references that I had and the 12 different ways that I wanted to go. I came up with titles like It's Okay, Hodgepodge in the Morning Coffee for 200 was one of my possible sermon titles, and A Layman's Look. And the reason I say that is because I'm coming to you this morning. We're going to touch a couple scriptures directly. I'm going to address a couple different scriptures that are in the Bible, but more so I'm going to talk to you as a family, because we are a family. We're a God family, and that's what families do. If you look in the early days of in the Old Testament, you'll see that every Sunday, on the Sabbath, they went to the temple, and they read the scrolls, and they had discussions. So for me, it's not just about me trying to give you a lesson. It's about talking to you as a God family member, one-on-one, like we want God to talk to us. And so I think that's kind of where God has led me today. But the title still remains, Forward Family Forward. So anybody have the little health tracker on your phone? You can push on there, and it'll tell you how far, how many steps you've taken today, if you've listened to headphones, if you've exceeded your daily audio limit, how far you've traveled. I looked at my wife's tracker the other day, and it showed that she had over 15,000 steps in a workday, and she had traveled 9-point-some-odd miles throughout the course of her workday. It was a flip day, and it was crazy. She says, you know, I walked almost 10 miles, and I took 15,000 steps, but I never took one step outside of this building. So how far did I really get? And that triggered something in my head, you know, that we can take a few little stats like, hey, I stepped 15,000 steps. Hey, I went 9-point-something-odd miles. But hey, I'm going to self-judge myself on my progress. I get a zero on the progress chart because I never even made it out of the building. 15,000 steps, almost 10 miles, and I got from here to there. It's not hard to put yourself in that position that says, you know what, it's one forward, two back. We get depressed. We try to lead, and we try to break ourselves out of that situation. So it's not really hard to sell ourselves short on the point that we made the effort to take 15,000 steps forward, and no matter where we got, we still traveled 10 miles to do it. In that same mannerism, it's also not hard to sell God short. He's the one who empowered you, sees that day. He's the one who gave you the breath you're breathing. He's the one that gave you the body, the family, the environment, everything that he prepared for your existence to be here on earth is sitting right in front of you, and we want to jump in front and act like we can take control of that. It's a hard, hard mindset for us, especially as adults, to get rid of and to just turn that over of God. Now, we got to remember, it's a family thing, so as children of the Most High God, it is his children, his family. We have to remember, he's going to be the one taking care of us. But, you know, I got to thinking about this. I said, okay, how can I break this in and how can I set the tone? And I know most of you probably think me as maybe as a grown-up, calm, cool, collected guy who's uber-organized and always has everything together, but shocker. Guess what? I am so far behind the eight ball most of the times. It's others who have special giftings that help me to do the things that I do. And in return, I try to use my giftings to help others. But to know a little bit about me, I'm going to give you just a quick refresher. Poor kid, grew up in the middle of the country. Grew up, went in the military, served during the Gulf War, 91 to 95. I was a rescue guy, loved it. If I could still do it, I'd probably do it again. After that, went through more accidents than I can count, starting from 96 when I got out, up until now, actually. I've told the story a couple times about how I always thought that I was the one picking me up. I was the one who was seeing myself through rehab. I was the one who was restoring my ability to walk. Well, through that, let's see, I've had my right knee impaled with a pole barn spike. I've been smashed by a runaway forklift that caused me a spinal fusion and a hip surgery. I was smashed by a forklift or a backhoe with a 19-foot extended boom arm on it. Had a 4-foot tooth bucket and was swinging his bucket, hit me from behind. That caused 3 vertebrae to be bolted together. So now I have 3 vertebrae and a tailbone all fused together in my spine. A nail that's been through there. I had a blood hematoma from the impact. I've had an umbilical hernia surgery from picking up one of my MRDD clients who was unable to get himself into his wheelchair. I've had a steel beam dropped on my left foot. I have ligaments torn in that. I have 2 other discs in my back that are surgery worthy, C5-6 and T7-8. I just have to say the word and they're going to operate on it. I was told by doctors that I would never walk without a cane again. I would always take prescription medicines, pain pills of some sort. I received over 60 spinal procedures throughout the time of those surgeries and more needles than I could care. And that's the short version. But all through those things, I thought it was me. I thought it was, I was the one picking myself up, and I tried to lead God rather than just follow God and recognize that he was the one the whole time. He picked me up, but he also picked up my family. The things that I didn't recognize that I was trying to do, God was picking up my family and he was tending to them. I was praying over my family. My family was praying over me. But those things are choices. We have to choose to let God lead. In order to seize that day, we also have to seize that choice. And it's not just a one-time choice. We're going to face those choices day in and day out. Before I get too far, I want you guys to flip with me. I'm going to go to Exodus 15, and I'm going to be looking at the scriptures 13 through 18 here in just a minute. You know, it seems we struggle to give value to the steps we take as individuals, but let alone trying to move a family forward in ways that's pleasing to God. If you're the elder in your house, if you're the man, a single parent, whatever, if you're the patriarch, you know what that pressure is all about, trying to move a family forward in ways that please God. Or let's up the ante. What if you're a single parent trying to not only maintain your own faith and establish your own ways that glorify God, but you have others to mentor, you have others to care for. And that can be an even bigger challenge. So we're going to cover some stuff to maybe help calm some of those anxieties today. And that's going to start in Exodus 15:13. I'll get there real quick. Everybody there? tend to read really fast, so I wait to go. What's up, little fella? So Exodus 15, 13 through 18. All right. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by, O Lord. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. And I'll go through 18. The Lord will reign forever and ever. So this is the song of Moses and Miriam. They have just got out of Egypt, and they find themselves in a state of recognition. This gives the credit due to God that he was the one who rescued them out, that made their enemies stand still and to be terrified. Remember the plagues? All the things that God did to warn the other people that these are my children and they are going to come out. They gave that glory to God. And so their song gives that moment, that aha moment that says, you know what, God, you did this. And as we look and we go on, we ourselves may have this same control issue. Anybody else got the control issue? Just giving it all to God? Everybody wake up every day and it's like a light switch. It says, okay, all yours. Every single bit, all yours. It's sometimes easier said than done. And the reason I say that is because we're going to do silly things. We're going to take things like steps taken to compared to distance taken, and evaluate somehow with distance traveled and how far we made it, and we're going to come up with our own little formula that we're going to fail and decide that, okay, we didn't succeed. We're not going to see the 15,000 steps as 15,000 efforts. We're going to see the front door and say, I didn't make it past that. But I want to put that mindset in a little different light. If you will, I'm going to flip over to Psalm 119.2 real quick. Well, not real quick, but kind of quick. Psalm 119:2. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all of their heart. I chose a different version from the NIV. It says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies as well. Who seek him with their whole heart. And so I looked at those and I said, okay. So what this is telling me is that when we trust God, we realize that each step forward for his glory is less about distance than it is about being willing to step forward for God's glory and to take that step of progress in our own personal faith walk. That's a choice. Our feet don't magically just go. We have to tell them to go. And we have to fight the influence that the secular world is going to tell us how we should walk, how we should talk, and that we do things for our own personal glory. Following God is so much easier than trying to run in front of him. I was looking at other scriptures, and I had a whole bunch of some of these I'm just going to read. Proverbs 3:6, I'm going to read to you. And I chose the English Standard Version. It talks about, in all ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. You know, sounds kind of easy, right? And always, just acknowledge him, and that's it. Everything's done. The path is straight. There's not going to be any woes. There's not going to be any struggles. That sounds amazing until we oversleep on Tuesday morning, and we got to drop off the kids to school, and we roll into work, iron 15 minutes late, and you look at all those things that us as parents were looking back going, you know what, yeah, I've had that happen. Darn it, well now I'm too late, kids missed the bus. So now I got to take them to school and I'm 2 hours and 15 minutes late to work. Probably going to get a write up over this one. These are moments that are going to be testing us. And I just want to tell you from a perspective point that those things are not God. Those are exactly the things that you give to God. those are the moments in time when you're stepping out of your boat and there's waves all around. The distractions are going to be there, and they're going to try and separate your mindset from things that glorify God. And if they can if Satan can separate your mindset and change your perspective, or start your day in a note that he knows that is going to aggravate you because you're not in a place to give it to God, well, guess what? You're probably going to wake up late 3 days this week, because he's going to find that button and he's going to push it. So it's about perspective, about saying, no, Satan, I'm going to choose to not go it alone. I'm going to choose to not run in front of God. I'm going to choose to give it to God. So if I jump up late and the kids are screaming because I'm dragging them out of bed and they're late to school, you know what? It might be as simple as, hey, God, fist bump, high five, I'm in. It's yours. Hand him the wheel, hand him whatever it is, wherever your mind goes with that, just hand it to him. He knows. He knows there's going to be times we're going to be tested. He tells us we're going to be tested. It's what we do with it. It's our personal perspective to choose whether we're going to run ahead and determine things for ourselves, or we're going to seek the wisdom of God. We're going to seek the counsel of God, and sometimes just slow down and say, you know what, God? If I got to take 20,000 steps to set an example for one other person, even though if I never make it outside of this building, I will walk 16,000 steps, and I will make it a point to stay in this building, and I will set that example. Because I guarantee you, if you look around this room, there's going to be somebody on some level who's doing that for us now. There's going to be another member of faith who has decided to choose God, to follow God, and to example, whether that's sharing a gift, sharing a kind word, but being in that place that says, I lead by following Christ. You want to be a leader among men and pursue the things in the world and further that kingdom of God? Be a leader by following Christ. You know, I talked about giving that to God, and we're going to have those moments that we're going to struggle with. And I want to tell you, a good part of this is our mindset. The world is going to pollute those things. It's going to twist things. It tells us how to act, how to be. So we have to fight the mindset. You ever watch the news? You ever turn on the news and turn it back off and be happier than when you started, other than the fact that they stopped talking? Okay? Those are the influences the world is going to have over us if we allow them. But mindsets and patterns, they develop over time. It took time for us to get used to watching the news at 6 o'clock and getting our daily dose of negativity, you know, and it may take you a while to break away from habits like that, but it can be done. And so that rests in a choice to say, no, I'm not going to follow ways of the world. No, I'm not going to run ahead of God. I'm going to choose to follow God. I'm going to choose to test anything that I question, if it even slightly contradicts God in any way. Test it against this right here. Okay? You want to safeguard those daily choices? Right there. You can get an app. You can throw it in your phone. You have a scripture that pops in your head? Pull it up. Okay? But start your day every day by following. You know, but I talked about the body. We're all part of the body. And it all sounds great. But at the end of the day, some of you are going to look at me and go, you know what? Well, where's the rubber meet the road in my highway house of crazy that I go home to every day? How am I supposed to implement all of these things or these mindsets? How am I going to make this great big change? How do I put it in? I'm going to give it to you in one word. Influence. Right there. You want to make an effective change in your house? It comes through influence. Your godly manners will start to show in others around you. And just as others will see yours, I have been mentored and I have seen godly mannerisms right here in the church. And those were exampled to me. And I now find myself replicating some of those things. It's not a quick affair. It took me a long time to grasp the small little tidbits that I have on my faith walk. But I know a lot of those have come through mentorship of other people, and know that in some form or fashion, every action you take in front of anybody, even God alone, is going to have a mentorship effect. It's going to have that exponential effect. Your kids see you do something, they're going to do it. Odds are, if they can figure out what you're doing, they're going to repeat those actions. But it does start to show. And so when I say influence, then as you give things over to God and you react in mannerisms that glorify God, and you show those patience moments when you used to want to blow up and be frustrated at the world, you're going to see it. And what I mean by see it is, I pray a bunch over meals for the family when we all meet together. But the first time I saw my granddaughter walk up and grab my hand and say, "Papa, let's pray together," tear-jerking moment. That was one of those moments where I knew at that point that the things that I do in my actions are noticed by others. And it's going to grow either in a good way that glorifies God or in a way that does not. When people see you're calm, when you're at peace with where you are in the middle of that highway house of crazy that you got going on and kids running around, and you're going, "Oh Lord, take it. Jesus, take the wheel. Take the wheel, the gas pedal, the brake pedal, turn signals, lock the door, strap in. It's you. I need you to do that." But the difference is then they start to come about. We start to pass over our bad habits that we used to have a little bit more, and we start to be cognitive and we become self-aware and allow that holy conviction of the Holy Spirit that says, "Hey, maybe you shouldn't." Not that judgmental spirit of the world that says you're bad because you have. It's that mindset that seeks God that says you can be blessed because He has. And that's a different, that's a 180 from how the world is going to tell you to do it. Because everything you do wrong is that Old Testament slam it down mentality that says, "I'm going to use this to bash you over the head with it." And you can get cornered. But remember, you're not alone. You have God family standing right here. You have a directory. You can get phone numbers. We will pray with you. We will talk with you. Somebody may have gone through what you've gone through. There may be a time where one of us are going to have a need for the wisdom of something that you have gone through. And how can I give you good advice on how to go through something if my actions didn't glorify God to begin with? I'm going to take you down a path of actions that may have just been my personal choice or my personal judgment. And so I would try to always offer, first, let's turn it over to God. See what God has to say and how He wants to handle this. How does He want us to act? You're going to see these influences for your godly giftings. You're going to see them in your family's giftings. You're going to feel encouraged when you start to share those gifts. One of my obvious giftings is music. I am filled with the spirit of joy every time I get to play music. And if I'm sad and I need some quiet space, I do what's called play and pray. Shut my mouth and I open my ears and I grab my guitar and I sit in my own little area and I just play and I listen. I just listen. I think through the things. I say, "Okay, God, this is on my brain. I got to give you this. God, I'm trying to lead here, but you got to lead here, so I'm going to give you that." And so I have found ways that I use to put myself out of first place, right behind God, and let him do what He needs to do. You know, I talked about godly mentorship. You want to see an effect on your family? Be willing to seek mentorship. Does anybody here, just off gee whiz, have a rough idea of what the definition of mentorship is? Or kind of what the purpose is? Mentorship is somebody who's willing to teach, coach, guide, and correct, and if necessary, correct and discipline for your benefit. Not to prove you wrong or right, but if it is going to be beneficial in your Christian walk for a mentor to say, "Hey, here's some scripture. Maybe walking down a path, check this with God. Let's pray about it." Okay, we're going to have those moments that we realize that as a family, we're going to talk together, we're going to love together. We're going to be together, and sometimes we have to be as iron sharpens iron. That's not always a painless process. Swords are kind of sharp. Just saying, God's word does cut through all those other things, and sometimes we have to be willing to let that be pruned. You know, and the ultimate goal is that we're to be unified in Christ. So I'm going to hit one more that I have. This is going to be Ephesians 4. I'm going to look at, I believe, 1 through 7. You get there. Okay. Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Hang on that part. Worthy of the life that you have received. She just talked about that. Seize the day. You've been given this breath, and sometimes we should recognize that a lot more. Verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. So, the goal here is unity in Christ as a family. What we're doing here exemplifies that here today. I talked about going to the temple and reading scriptures and talking and being a community, being a family. Here we are. It tells right here in the scripture that we're supposed to center our lives around Christ. But ultimately, we're urged to all glory of the Father. It's Big Dad, for lack of better words. Big Dad's driving this train. And so giving that glory to him through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has allowed us a path to be able to do so and be heard by God, to be washed in that blood. So am I telling you guys that if you go home today and you change a few actions, that the home life is going to be sunshine and rainbows in the next 2 weeks, guaranteed, promise, fist stamp? Probably not. And I don't mean that in a bad way. What I'm telling you is that what matters is the relationship with Jesus Christ. Those waves in the ocean when you're trying to climb out of that boat are always going to be there. There's always going to be the distractions. The question is going to be, are you going to keep your eyes focused on Jesus and walk towards him? Or are you going to let the distractions and the waves of the world cause you to panic, choose poorly, and try to run ahead of God? I can say this because I've done it 100 times, and I can guarantee you I'm probably going to end up at one point in my life doing that again. But I want to tell you that the relationship with Jesus Christ is so much more satisfying to the soul than any sunshine or rainbows will ever be to your eyes. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sent a counselor. We are now authorized through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that when we accept him into our hearts and our souls, we open the door to accept the presence of the Holy Spirit in our daily being. That is our counselor. That is our intercessor. Through moans and groans and things that we may not understand, he intercedes for us and our soul to God the Father for us. He's that peace of God that gets to live inside of us every day. That is the part that you can best give your family. You want to see your family grow? You want to see them move forward? Give them the God that you have in your heart. That nice gesture, that soft moment, that good Samaritan moment, that willingness follow Jesus Christ to be a good leader in your home and a leader among men and a leader in your community. You know, personal influence can be a bad thing. Godly influence is the part that I'm really talking about for us to share and sometimes accept. I was compelled to pull up a whole bunch of examples here, but I don't want to rabbit hole too deep. It's real simple. Jesus gave the new command. You want to know how to example and have impact on your family? Most of us should already have heard this new command. He said, I give you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. To the point of self-sacrifice on the cross, Jesus chose to love us enough to follow the directions of God the Father. That's the other part I want you to pick up on here. Jesus gave us parables, examples, from start to finish, we look at all those things, but sometimes we forget the fact that as much as Jesus is God, he followed the will of God the Father. He did not leave. He did not try to lead, I should say. When he prayed, you know, Lord, please take this cup from me, let it be your will, not mine, That was Jesus Christ giving us the example of how to step back and place God in his reverent place, so that as followers in his ways and glorifying him, that's how we lead. That's how we can chase away those worldly mindsets that want to run around in here and just call off work and eat 2 points because you're already going to be late anyways and it's already a bad day. So we might as well just sit at home and grovel and be mad about it and just eat some points and just let that train go. And so that's why I talk about the family part, because we're not alone. You're never alone, because our God is omnipresent. He's with us at all points in time. He's always there. And when you seek for him, hey, God, just like in the garden, he came. He yelled for Adam. Hey, where you at? I guarantee you, if you have a question, if you have a dilemma, he's right there. And all you got to do is say, hey, God, and he's known. You're going to get that. Here I am. And speak. You know, take that time to listen. That's what we struggle with, is we want to tell God what's wrong. We want to tell God what the family's doing wrong. We want to run ahead of him and tell him how we're going to fix it. And sometimes that may not work out for our best example. You know, I looked at one of the emoji things the other day. And they had some wonderful stuff out there, and I was going to pull some up, but I realized I'm not the tech guy that I used to be, and I didn't figure out how to send it. And I said, you know what, these are difficulties. I'm going to face these same moments when I'm not going to be able to figure out how to do something. I'm going to have a child who's not going to be able to figure out how to do something. I'm going to need to be able to set that example, and I'm going to have to pray over it. I'm going to set a good example, and I'm going to teach the child how to do it in a way that glorifies God. And when we give the accomplishment, we're going to give that credit to God. We're going to start someplace small, putting God first. You know, every family's different, and I'm going to get to the meat of this, and we're going to get us some lunch today. I want to let you know that every family's different. As different families, we're all going to face setbacks, and so that's one of the big points for me. I'm going to basically look at something. I looked at Exodus when I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about setbacks. And okay, great, you're going to come up here, you're going to tell them that they're just going to put God first, and they're going to set better examples in the home, and that's where the rubber's going to meet the road. In maybe 3 weeks, everything's going to be hunky-dory, and there's going to be no more problems. You know, there's still sin in the world, so I'm not going to lie to you. There's going to be setbacks, but then and again, we have to hand those to the Lord, and it's how we choose to handle those that's going to be examples for our children, for our neighbor, for our mother, for somebody who needs a word or an example of why should I become a Christian. How you handle something in a public view might well determine somebody teetering one way or the other, going, you know what, maybe I will try and go to church. You know, Matt's over here, he's got parts flying off of that bulldozer, and he's just as happy as a lark over there doing his thing. Even though there's 32 things broke, he's just at it, going on. You know, or the other part, Matt may be ripping one part off the truck, 32 cuss words may come out of his mouth, and he might have that example to face. But I want to cover Exodus a little bit. You don't have to go there. I want to talk about the failings. In Exodus, they wandered for 40 years. And early in this sermon, I did talk about God leading. So as a final point, failures. So after all the plagues, all the miracles, God performed all these to get the Israelites out. Anybody remember through the whole process, one of the things that was a constant through all those plagues about the Israelites? They grumbled. Grumbled. God has sent somebody saying, I'm going to free you, but they had such a slavery, such a secular mentality that their culture had become ingrained into one of submission to Egyptian rule and submission to that slave poverty mentality. I have to be ruled over. And that's where they were. So in the midst of all these plagues, God's preparing to get them out. They're grumbling. They get all the way out into the desert. They're getting ready to cross. The Egyptians are coming. What are they here? What's Moses here? Brought me all the way out here to die. Grumbling. Here they are again. God worked plagues and The Egyptian people basically gave them all their gold, all whatever, all their past due money, everything that they'd ever had been owed. I don't know how they calculated that, but they did. They just gave them a bunch of stuff, said, here, get out. You, your God, everything, whatever it is that's plaguing my people and won't stop until I let you go, take it, get out. They grumbled. We look at the Israelites, they keep on going. They cross the sea, they get out into the desert. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? God carried you through blank and high water just now. And we don't know how long, or I don't know personally how long it took for the plague part to take place. I don't know if that was a year, 2 years, 5 years. I don't really know. I'm going to have to research that. But I know that they spent 40 years in the desert, and all that time before that Pharaoh tried to go back and forth with Moses and God and not let the people go. So what we're seeing is 40 plus years of process going on here. So they grumbled. They grumbled about the food. They grumbled about the Israelites chasing them. They grumbled about the miracles. And God got to the point that he had to literally was leading them day in and day out. Columns of smoke by day, columns of fire by night. God was literally in front of them, had performed all these things. What did they do? Grumble. We talked about food and water. They've already made it out through there. God sends the manna. What did they do? Grumbled about it. He gave them water. They got to watch Moses tap the rock the first time and did it the right way. Did what God said. God brought water up out of the rock. That wasn't Moses. That was God's power. All these things that God had done to take the time to lead them and give them an example and say, hey, I will. That was God protecting them, sheltering them, removing them from oppression, feeding them, providing them a path to go, food to get there, and safety all along the way. Much better than that, they'd have been in the Garden of Eden, right? That's the extent that God had went to go ahead of his children. He is willing to take those same steps and does to be ahead for us. The question is are we willing to stay behind God? Are we going to step out? Are we going to cut him off? Are we going to shorten those moments? Say, no, okay, God, you got it. I'm good. I got you. Got you. I'll handle it. I think I know what you want. I'll go ahead and just make my own call on that. But yet, grumbled. So we see all these things that God puts in front of us. 40 years it still took them of wandering to get their head right. So for me, that should let me know that I'm going to have to try some things a few times. I'm going to have to practice giving some things over to God on a daily basis before I remember, hey God, this is yours. I choose for my actions. Lord, I'm going to do my part to choose to glorify you through them. Lord, this problem, the wisdom I'm going to need for the next time I need to make this decision, the discernment I'm going to need when I get faced for that last minute choice on the job and I have to choose how to act, God, that's you. That's you. I'm going to give it all to you. I'm going to step away. I'm not going to get in that ring. I'm going to keep my ear open. I'm going to keep one eye to the sky. Lord, you tell me what you want me to do. I'll do that. Because every time I do it, I mess it up. And I've accepted that. But that takes practice. It takes time. And it takes the choice. If anything, today's sermon is about choice. You can choose to follow God, glorify him, do things that will benefit your family, be a good example to the kingdom of God, and give proper reverence to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sins. But the last setback, I was almost there. Moses, the leader, he was set back. Why? You know what he fell victim to? Influence. What kind of influence did he fall victim to? Grumbling. The second time when he struck the rock, he wasn't supposed to strike the rock. He was supposed to talk to the rock. So you can almost see the impatience of everybody grumbling. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're still at this point in their 40-some-year venture that they're grumbling and putting the simple things before the glory of God. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? He gets mad. He doesn't pray for it. He doesn't pray for the rock. He doesn't speak to it. He grabs a stick in anger and he hits it. Moses had a setback. If you don't know, because of that, Moses was punished, and he wasn't able to go all the way into the promised land. He was able to see the promised land, and then he was going to pass. God didn't curse him for it. God knew that he was going to make mistakes. Moses had made many mistakes. If you read all the way through Exodus, you'll see that Moses was a very determined man who was willing to go to extremes to defend his God, for lack of better words, to defend his people. He killed a guard. We see all of those things, but Moses was set back. But what you don't see, you know what I didn't see when this happened to Moses? Him let that, his failure, be a deterrent to others. He immediately went to the planning stage. You see where Aaron was transitioned over, and as they went into the new promised land, it became Aaron, and then he had his own set of struggles. But I can't find where he deterred others. So in that, he accepted the fact that he was going to make mistakes. He had made one, and there was a consequence. We're going to have those moments, and that's where the rubber meets the road, boys and girls. Day-to-day life's going to get crazy. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. We're going to suffer losses at some points in our lives. We're going to be reminded that we're human. We have to deal with sin and all those things that come in the world. But we serve a perfect God who loves us and will make our paths straight when we give it to Him first. We have a God family right in here to share our journey with, to encourage, to love, to help one another as Christ instructed us to do. We're to be unified in Christ as a family. We need to know and remember that our God desires to bless us and can't be outgiven. My final verse reference is actually Malachi 3:10. Many of you probably know it. If you want to flip there, you can. If not, there we are. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough to store it. I chose another version. It was put your full tithe into God's storehouse. There were several different versions, and when it talked about the full tithe, that was the part. Things we give to God, our words, our actions, our thoughts, our first fruits, our first efforts, every little step. All the way up in the beginning of this sermon, I talked about those steps. It's not about the distance from here to there. It's about progress. It's about willing to take the choice and take the effort and step forward for the glory of God. You do those things, it tells us right here in Malachi that you're not going to be outgifted. You're not going to outgive God. You're not going to out-tithe God. I would actually challenge you to try it. If you want to challenge, try and outgive God. And what I mean by that, I don't mean change your tithe to 85%. No, I mean all of your tithe. Your tithe is your words, your facial expressions, your body language, your actions on the street, how you respond to the person at the drive-thru who doesn't get your order right 3 times in a row and you just want to eat and go back to work while you still have time. Those examples. That is your tithe. That is how you glorify God. That's your first fruits. Guy talks to you, says he got your order wrong. First words out of your mouth. First. Hear that part. First. Those are your first fruits. That's your tithe. That's what God wants. He never wanted the leftover. We learned that from Cain and Abel. He never wants the leftover. He wants the first fruits. He wants that part that recognizes where it came from. You give Him that, He will always lead. He will always be present. But you have to make the choice and you have to ask, Lord, come into my heart. Lord, please send the Holy Spirit. Please give me wisdom. Please give me discernment. Please help me to do things that glorify You. And give me mentorship. Help me learn how to be a mentor. You see youngins in the crowd, they're going to have mentors. Guess what? Our example's part of that. And somebody gave us that example. So the hope is that as we seek to further the kingdom here on earth, that we do things that glorify Jesus Christ. And if we follow Him and we put Him first, it will show, it will rub off, it will have an impact. God will be glorified, and you will be the best leader you can be by following Jesus Christ. So if you have any questions about that, I know this was a little deep for me. But this is what God gave me, and sometimes he has to check my perspective and say, hey, there's an easier way. Just follow me. All you got to do, just follow me. Ask for my wisdom. Ask for my discernment. Ask for my guidance. Ask for my protection. I'll give you all of those things. Let's go. And that's where Jesus wants to take your hand and say, I got you. Let's go. So if you have questions about any of those things today, about a relationship with Jesus Christ or what it takes to accept him as your Lord and Savior, I would offer you to speak to one of our elders, speak to Matt. Lastly, if you need to, feel free to come speak with me. We would gladly make a time, sit down today, discuss, answer any questions that you may have. Just know that we are all followers of Christ. We are unified through his sacrifice, and that at the end of the day, it's our choice to glorify him. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you this morning just for the reminders that you're not only in charge now, you've always been in charge. Through the sacrifice of your son, we are able to be blessed, to be cleansed, to be washed in the blood, and to be able to seek to glorify things that glorify you because you've given us your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that it continues to go with us as we leave your temple this morning, that we carry it in our personal temples and our hearts so that we can share and glorify you as we go out into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So as the praise team comes up, they're gonna sing one final hymn. If you have any prayer concerns, I would encourage you to come up and spend some time with the elders. We'll pray with you. If you have a praise, you just want to say, God, thank you. I know you're working. Even though I may not have the solution yet, please come on up. We'll pray with you. We want to share in your praise. That's what God does.